How many people in here have ever had enemies? You think about an enemy. I mean, if somebody doesn't like you, does that really make them your enemy? Or is it only somebody who can actually do you harm? You know, because there might be people who don't like you, but it doesn't matter because you don't even know they don't like you. But people who can actually affect you, now those are real enemies. And in 1 Kings chapter 11, we come across some enemies of Solomon. And we're not going to start in verse 1 because that would give away the final message. 1 Kings chapter 11. In verse number 15, we read about a man named Hadad. The Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. Now, Hadad he lived in Edom, of course, by the term Edomite. He's from that area. And what happened is when King David was in there fighting a battle against them, Hadad and some of the royal family escaped. And Hadad went all the way down to Egypt. In fact, when he got down to Egypt as a child, he ends up living with Pharaoh. And he is reared as a son of Pharaoh. He lives, you know, who does that remind you of? Joseph, right? So Joseph, the same way. Remember, he grew up, I mean, he was already grown, but he lived in under that palace. How about Moses, right? Moses, right? Born and just soon after that ends up living and being brought up in Pharaoh's home. So in that same idea, Hadad goes and he lives with the Pharaoh. He's blessed. In fact, at some point, King David dies and Joab dies. And Hadad says, you know, I'd kind of like to go home. And the Pharaoh says to him, why do you want to go home? You got everything you need right here. But isn't it true that no place like home? And so he said, well, you got everything here. Why don't you just stay? And Hadad says, no, I want to go home. He said, all right, go home. Now that covers all the way down to verse number 22. And so Hadad goes home. But guess what? When he gets home, he decides he's going to be a pain in Solomon's side. And so he's just a nuisance to Solomon all of Solomon's days. And in verse 23 through 25, we find a guy named Rezon. And Rezon, this is a guy who was a pain also. It says in verse 23, God stirred him up another adversary, Rezon, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. He gathered men to him, and he became captain over a band when David slew them of Zobah. So he runs away from Zobah. Turns out it's a good thing he did because David went in there and killed everybody. But as he leaves, now he gathers a group of men and he becomes captain over them. Who does that remind you of? David. Right? We just talked about that not long ago, how David left and all these men were gathered to David and he lived in Ziklag and we talked about all that. But anyway, so Rezon, he gathers these men together. He becomes their captain over them. And he is constantly, verse 25, an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon beside the mischief of Hadad. So now Solomon's got two enemies, two who are really just pestering Solomon all the time. But then we come to a fella in verse number 29. And this is a fellow by the name of Jeroboam. You recognize him if you study this period. And Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem. And the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way. He had clad himself with a new garment. They two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him, and he rent it in 12 pieces. He took his brand new garment, and he cut it in 12 pieces. And here's what he said. He said, two pieces for Solomon. Really, it's two pieces for King David. 10 pieces for you. So the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, will be divided 10 to 2. I will rend, verse 31, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and give 10 tribes to thee. Verse 32. But Solomon shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. So now we have Hadad, Rezon, and Jeroboam. By the way, the story of Jeroboam goes like this, and it's actually in this text, that Jeroboam was a very industrious man, great guy, great worker. In fact, Solomon had elevated and exalted Jeroboam to a place of position over the house of Joseph, okay, over Joseph's inheritance. And so Solomon saw the qualities in Jeroboam and had elevated him and promoted him. And now Jeroboam leaves Jerusalem. The prophet meets him in the field and says, hey, guess what? We're taking the kingdom away from your boss and giving 10 tribes to you. Wow. That's tough, isn't it? But what are you going to do? You say, well, I'm loyal to Solomon. You better be loyal to God first. This is God's action. And I understand the situation that puts a man in, but we got to do what God says. By the way, once God puts it in motion, you best go along with it or you get run over. And so guess what? Word got back to Solomon. And what does Solomon want to do? He sought to slay Jeroboam. He wanted to kill Jeroboam. Verse 40, Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam, and Jeroboam arose, and he fled into Egypt to Shishak, king of Egypt, and he was in Egypt till the death of Solomon. Now, what I didn't tell you is that God has already come to Solomon and said to him, I'm going to take the kingdom out of your hands. Let's go over to verse number 9. The Lord was angry, still chapter 11, verse 9. The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Now, this is the thing. You know, I get that there are people who don't believe God. They don't believe Jesus, don't believe in the Bible, don't believe the church, don't believe in us as Christians. They don't believe us. Okay. Solomon had talked to God. God talked to Solomon. He had visited Solomon twice, it says. He actually came and talked to him. Now, if he does that, you can't deny it, right? Which, by the way, that's why he told us we need to live by faith. Faith which is seen, then why is it faith? It's no longer faith. And so we live by faith, not by sight. But Solomon not only had the faith, but he had the visual, he had seen God. And even with that, he turned aside. And so God says in verse number 11, the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Okay? So God told him what he was going to do. Didn't name him, but he told him what he's going to do. Verse 12, notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake. You see that? Guys, it matters. It matters how we live because it affects our children. Solomon was the one that sinned. But God did not rend the kingdom from Solomon. He said, I'm not going to do it in your day for one reason. Your dad. So it matters, guys. It matters what we do. It affects our children. It affects those who come behind us. And so you say, well, but he told Jeroboam while Solomon was still alive. I know. But Solomon ran off to Egypt. Jeroboam ran off to Egypt, didn't he? See what happened? That's the reason there was the delay. And then when Solomon died, Jeroboam came back. It all worked out exactly like God said it was going to work out. And many of us, we might look at what Jeroboam did and say, but God told him he could have those 10 tribes. And so why would he be afraid of Solomon and run to Egypt? He was a coward. No, he may not have known it, but he was fulfilling God's will. You know, and that's sometimes we do the craziest things, illogical. They don't make sense. But we have to keep our trust in God and then look back on it. And guess what we're going to realize? If we stuck with God, it all worked out God's way. Even if we didn't understand it, even if we don't know why we're running away, even if we don't know why we're moving away, if we just trust God, it all works out. We gotta stay in touch with God. So anyway, So we talked about the enemies of Solomon. There was Hadad, Rezon, Jeroboam. But we go back to the beginning of the chapter, because there's another enemy of Solomon. It says in verse 1, Solomon loved many strange women. I won't ask how many of you are familiar. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Verse number 3, he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines. And if you don't know what a concubine is, it's just another woman that he has in his life. He doesn't owe her the same. They really called them slaves, okay? They were a type of slave, but they were romantic with Solomon, if you will. And his wives turned away his heart. So the fourth one we see is the women in his life. They influenced him to turn away from God. Now, they didn't say, yeah, you need to leave that Bible stuff alone. You need to leave church. You need to quit listening to that preacher. You need to stop talking about God. They didn't do that. They didn't attack his religion. They just showed him other options, alternatives. And little by little, you know, they would bring their idols in. They would invite him to their ceremonies, to their gods and their worship. And little by little, he would build them a, we want to build a palace to our God. All right, Solomon says, I'll cut a check. Just go do it. He was financing all of this stuff. Well, what do you think happens when the king of Israel finances a building for a false god? The people of Israel said, must be okay, let's go. And so this continued in the hills and the groves and even in Jerusalem. And Solomon got farther and further away from God. He got less interested and less committed and less devoted. Guys, this is the same guy who went before God and said, I'll not ask thee for wisdom. I'll not ask thee for money. Right? I just want to do your will. And God said, I'm going to give you everything you want. I'm going to give you more than you want. I'm going to give you more than you ever thought of, ever imagined. Same guy. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will heal their land. I will forgive their sins. That's the same guy that God was talking to there. He had met God. He had devoted himself to God, totally surrendered to God. But over the course of time, over the repeated influence, what influences us? I mean, it's one thing if you say, hey, Dad, right? Hey, Dad, well, he's just an enemy. He's just a constant pain in the neck for Solomon. Okay. But see, that wasn't where the biggest problem was. Rezon, not the biggest problem. Jeroboam's going to take over the kingdom. Didn't turn out to be a problem in Solomon's life, did it? But the daily influence, what we read, what we listen to on the radio, what we watch on television, the people we hang around with, the things that we do, they gather our interest. They draw us away. They intrigue us. They interest us. And then they involve us. And then they entrap us. I mean, 700 wives and 300 concubines. And you wonder why he said it's better to live on the corner of the housetop than in the house with a brawling woman, right? He had a little experience in the matter. Right? Solomon had women around him all the time by his choice. The fourth enemy is the women. But who's the fifth enemy? The number one enemy. You see, we see how they turned his heart away, but in verse number 5, it says Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. he went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Now look, what was David's weakness? Women, right? We see women, same thing. What was Samson's weakness? What was Adam's weakness? I'm picking up on a trend here. Guys, we've got to have a backbone. Right? And notice here, it didn't just say women. It said he was going after strange women. God's not pushing women aside. He's not criticizing women, and we're not. But what we're saying is, when we link ourselves with someone who does not share our faith and our values, we're going to have trouble. And that's what Solomon did. Don't you know there were many Jewish women there that loved God, that worshiped God, that went to the festivals and honored the commandments and honored the word of God and all of his statutes and all of his principles? But he went after strange women. He went after other women. And he didn't follow God. David had some weaknesses. But you know what David didn't do? David didn't worship other gods. David said, I want to build a house for the Ark of the Covenant. I want to build a house for God. He said, look at my beautiful house I live in. And the Ark of the Covenant, where God comes and meets with people, is in a tent. Let's build God a house. God said, I don't need a house. But he said, I tell you what, you build a temple. He built a tabernacle. He said, but you can't do it. Solomon's got to do it. Same guy. Guys, we've got to be careful of our influences. You see, our greatest enemy is not the guy down the road. Our enemy is not the guy across the street. Our enemy is not the person who's learning and growing and may someday succeed us in our position. By the way, our enemy, our greatest enemy, is not even the people that we draw around us and their influence. Our greatest enemy is within us. We have got to conquer self. We have got to remain true to God. We have got to surrender to God, devote ourselves to God, and push away any influence that says anything else. Because Solomon had no enemies as long as he followed God. But when he started following after other things, other interests, he started accumulating enemies. The Lord had appeared to him twice. God's expectation was clear. Did God say to Solomon, Solomon, I don't want you going off marrying other women. I don't want you going off marrying women from strange countries. God didn't say it. He said it to Israel years ago. God didn't change the rules for Solomon. He didn't need to repeat it for Solomon. The rules he stated back then were still the same rules. And I say to you today, God's rules are God's rules. And if God said it was his standard then, it's his standard now. If that was God's principle then, it's his principle now. Why do we cooperate with those who would lead us away from God? Why do we cooperate with them? I don't understand that. They want to draw us away from God, but we don't have to go. Like I say, you don't have to participate in every argument you're invited to. We need to learn how to just walk away. Learn how to not respond. Learn how to not engage. Had Solomon kept his heart centered on God, he would have avoided the trouble. He brought the people into his life that led him away from God. So let's look at our circle of influence. Who's in your circle? Who are you listening to? Who are you talking to? Who are you spending time with? What are you reading? What are you listening to on the radio? What are you watching on television or movies or on your phone? What are we spending our time influencing our mind, or are we spending our time influencing it with God's word, with God's teaching, with God's worship, with everything about Jesus? Is that where we are? Because my greatest enemy, maybe you remember that cartoon, and I probably brought this up before. It was a cartoon that hung on our refrigerator when I was a kid. Had cut it out of the newspaper. I want to say it was Andy Capp, but it might not have been. But in frame number one, he's praying, Lord, smite my worst enemy. And in the second frame, he's struck by lightning. And in the third frame, he says, let me rephrase that. Smite mine own worst enemy. Guys, we got to realize the battle's not out there. The battle's in here. The battle's in here. You say, well, they're always making me mad. Don't give them the key to your madness. Don't give them the key to your happiness. Don't do it. We have got to remain in control. The Bible tells us to be in control of our bodies, our spirits, our minds, and our tongues. By the way, the Bible says, who can rule the tongue? Boy, that's a mighty man that can rule the tongue. He said, in fact, nobody can tame it. And I don't, as hard as we work, every once in a while, that tongue gets us in trouble, doesn't it? We say something we shouldn't have said. But the Bible tells us we need to, it doesn't say, you know, for God to control it. That's the great thing about God. He still lets us be us. We got saved. Our sins washed away. I confessed my sin to God and trusted Christ as my Savior. He forgave my sins, wrote my name in the book of life. And then he said, Derek, I'm going to help you, but it's up to you, buddy, to get this turned around. Now, what can I do to turn it around? Stay in his word, stay in church, have the right influences around me, not have 700 wives and 300 concubines. Right? I'm doing pretty good on that one. We just need to be careful about our influences, because that's going to get us. What's coming in here? You know, Jesus talked about what we put in our mouth is not what condemns us, but what comes out of our mouth, that's what condemns us. And he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'll admit to you tonight, I've still got a long way to go to be perfect. Do my best. I'm trying, working on it. My worst enemy is not Hadad, Jeroboam, or Rezon, or any influencer in my life. My greatest battle is getting control of myself. And by God's grace, we get better every day. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much, and we're glad to be in your house. Lord, as much as we love and honor King David and King Solomon, we know they were just men, as we are just human too. We need your grace. God, we accept responsibility. We got to have control of our minds and our thoughts and our words and our actions. We got to have control of our influences. We need to be discerning, and we need to be exclusive in those who have influence in our lives. So God, we love you. We praise you for who you are and ask you to use us this week to make a difference. Forgive our sins. Bring us back again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.